Good morning, good morning. How are you today? Good, good. Everybody blessed? You feeling blessed? Let's thank Mandy and Taylor for leading us in worship today. Everybody's doing good. You're doing good. You're excited to be in church. Are you sure? You had your coffee. How many had coffee today? How many of you did not have coffee? Wow, it's about 50-50. Good for you. Last weekend was an amazing weekend here at church, Father's Day. And we've never had so many people in church on Father's Day. Last weekend was an all-time record for Father's Day. So we're excited about that. And I want to thank you for coming. I also want to thank Daryl Strawberry for coming and giving his testimony. It was a powerful word from him. I've talked to him a couple times this week, and he was just really excited and blessed just by being here. So thank you for being kind to him and loving on him. Today, we want to jump back into our series called The Power of One. And inside there are some sermon notes. And we're looking at how one person can have a huge influence in this world. Even if you're out there and you're thinking, well, it's just little old me. Just little old me. Well, God can use little old me to do some great things. Amen? Next weekend, we will wrap up this series. It's lasted for 8 weeks. This is the seventh of 8 weekends. And then the next weekend is that weekend Tim was talking about. And that was a little unfair, him eating all that popcorn in front of us, wasn't it? That was not right. I'll get on him about that. One thing he did not mention is that when we do those series at the movies, there will be no services online. We cannot do online with those movie clips. That's against the law. So we don't want to get arrested, amen. So don't think you're going to be at home watching those movies. You got to come to church to see them is the point, okay? Some people are going to be very upset when they log on and can't find the service. Amen, amen. Well, grab your sermon notes, if you will. In the United States of America, there are 270 million people. 70 million of them are over age 65, which leaves only 200 million people to do all of the work. Of the 200 million people that remain, 120 million are under the age of 18, which leaves only 80 million people to do all the work. There are 35 million employed government employees, which now we're only down to 45 million people. There are 5 million people in the United States military, which takes us down to just 40 million people. There are 25 million city, state, and county employees. Now we're down to 15 million people left to do all the work. You can deduct 14,800,000 people who are on welfare today, which leaves only 200,000 people left to do all of the work. There are approximately 188,000 people in the hospitals around the country, which leaves only 12,000 people left to do all the work. It may interest you, there are 11,988 people in jail today, which means there's only two people left to do all the work. That's you and me, and personally, I'm tired of doing everything by myself, just so you know. Some of those numbers were skewed, just so you know. Oh, I'm really lightheaded. Okay, here we go. In the Bible, if you look and you search, you will find names of individuals that are mentioned only one time. Names that are hidden, so to speak. Uncommon names. People that get no fanfare, no applause, no kudos. There's never been a sermon written about them. Never been a Sunday school lesson written about them. Oh, everybody's heard of Samson. How many of you have heard of Samson? Everybody's heard of him. Everybody's heard of Noah. Everybody's heard of Joseph and the Virgin Mary and John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle. But tucked away in the Bible are all kinds of people. When you read their name, you go, who's that? You read through a genealogy or perhaps some obscure passage. But if you stop and search and study, you'll discover, write this down, point number one, some of the lesser known people in the Bible did some very significant things. some of the lesser known people, people that you've never heard of, God did some amazing things to them. One of such names in the Bible that I want to talk about, you might not have ever heard of him before. Oh yes, you've read through the Bible many times, I know, but you just skipped right over his name. Again, you've heard of Daniel, you've heard of Moses, you've heard of Peter and David and John. But have you ever seen this person? Here's his name. His name is Tertius with a T. Everybody say Tertius. I want you to write that down under letter A. Tertius was a scribe. And by trade, that was his occupation. And I'll get into that in just a few moments. So just remember that Tertius is a scribe. Now, the Bible is made up of 66 different books written by 40 different authors. And one, just one of those 40 different authors was a man named Paul the Apostle. I want you to write his name down. Now, Paul was an author. He was an apostle, but he was a writer. And Paul wrote, I have here today in my hands, this Bible here I have is just the New Testament. This is not the Old and the New. This is just the New Testament, but it's the whole New Testament. And there are 27 books in the New Testament. And Paul, the author, wrote half of this book. He wrote, we know for sure, 13 of these books. We believe that he wrote 14 of them. Now, to understand Tertius, the scribe, you first have to understand something about Paul, the author. There are those who've studied, and I mean really studied, all of his letters that he wrote. And they have reached the conclusion, and I agree with them, I want you to write this down, that Paul had poor eyesight. He couldn't see very well. Now I want you to think about this, 2,000 years ago, how many of you think you have poor eyesight? You wear glasses or contacts, or raise your hand real high, I want to see, okay. Look at all of us, okay. I can't see you. But I want you to think about back 2,000 years ago, if you had poor eyesight, they didn't have glasses back in those days. They didn't have LASIK surgery back in those days. Back in the day, if you couldn't see, guess what? You couldn't see. And imagine your profession, you're a writer, an author, and you can't see very well. What would you do? Now, there are many different verses, little verses, and you really have to study the detail. You know, you have to read between, how many of you know you have to read between the lines sometimes? But I'll show you a verse that points out that we believe that Paul had poor vision. One is in Galatians 4:15. You know, you might have read this many times, you just skipped right over, but it says, Paul writes, I can testify that if you could have done so, why, you would have torn out your own eyes and given them to me. Now, why would he write something like that if he did not have poor vision? There are many people who believe in 2 Corinthians 12:8, where Paul prayed three times to have this thorn in his side removed. We don't believe it was an actual thorn. We believe that that was some physical ailment. And many people smarter than me, have drawn the conclusions that Paul's thorn in his flesh was the fact that he couldn't see very well. We also have this verse in Galatians 6, verse 11. Paul writes, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Well, that sounds like a kindergartner bragging about the fact that he wrote a letter or something. Well, what's the point I'm trying to make? Oftentimes, when we say that such and such wrote one of the books in the Bible, the author would dictate the letter while he was being led by God, while he was being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, the author would speak to a scribe, and he would say, scribe, write this down, write this letter down. Scribe, make a record of these words. And the scribe would get his pen, he would get his inkwell, he would get his parchment, and the scribe would write what the author would dictate. Now, in our story, Tertius is a scribe. He is our illustration this weekend of the power of one person and how one person can make a huge difference in the world. And most of you have never even heard of his name. I want you to take the book of Romans. Go to the book of Romans. It's one of the books of the New Testament, and I want you to find the first chapter and the last chapter. It's not hard to do. And I don't know, I probably got 8, 9, 10 pages there. And I just want you to look at it in your Bible, chapter 1 and chapter 16, all right? You have the beginning and the end of Romans. And I want you to write this down, that this book right here that I'm waving at you here is considered by some to be the greatest letter ever written. I want you to write that down. There are many people who've studied. Now, do you think about that? That's a bold statement. Throughout the centuries, there have been many great letters that have been written. But there are those with cause who believe that this letter, the book of Romans, is perhaps the greatest letter that has ever been written. And it was written, of course, by Paul the Apostle, and it was addressed to all the people who lived in that magnificent city, the largest city in the world at that time, the city of Rome. Paul had not yet ever been to Rome when he wrote this letter. So he wrote this letter to the people that lived in Rome. Paul always wanted to get to the mega cities. He wanted to get where he could influence the most people for the gospel. You can see in the very first verse, Romans 1, verse 1, the very first word is Paul. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel that he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And he continues to write, and down in verse 7 it says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. That's chapter 1. But if you read or study the next 16 chapters, it is a relentless stream of divine truth. It is a theological jewel with powerful conclusions. The most significant letter of all of Paul's writings, the longest letter of all of Paul's letters, the deepest letter of all of Paul's letters. It helped shape the Reformation movement. It identifies our need for salvation. It explains our need for grace through Jesus Christ. It provides the impetus in the church for revival and renewal. Its mandates are universal. Paul's letter to the Romans is considered to be a masterpiece. And Paul, understandably, gets all the credit. He was an educated man. He was called of God, anointed of God, to author the greatest letter ever written. But I want you to turn now back to Romans chapter 16, the very last chapter. And you have a list of all these names, just a bunch of names. And I know how you do when you read, you just read right over them. In verse 3, I'm not going to read all of them, but in verse 3, you've got this couple called Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. You have, in verse 6, you've got a woman named Mary, who worked very hard for you. You've got names in verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, there's a guy named Urbanus. In verse 10, he says, greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ, and greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. We skip right over that name. Verse 11 is Herodian. Verse 12 has Tryphena and Tryphosa, these women who worked hard in the Lord. Verse 13 is Rufus. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who's been a mother to me as well. Verse 16, there's no name in there, but it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. I just want you to give everyone a kiss here today. Come on. Okay. One day I'm going to do a whole sermon on just greet one another with a holy kiss. Church will be packed that weekend, I'm sure. Verse 21, you have Timothy. My fellow worker sends his greetings to you. So does Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my relatives. But here it is in verse 22. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. In other words, Tertius was the guy. Tertius was the scribe. He was the one that when Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, dictating divine, inspired book of Romans, Tertius was the one who actually wrote it down word for word, line for line, letter by letter. And I want you to think about this. It's okay to clap? I want you to think about this. Think about this. This one book in the Bible that is considered to be the most important letter ever written in the history of the world is in our hands partially due to the unique talent of an underappreciated scribe by the name of Tertius. And I want you to think about all the sermons that have ever been preached from the book of Romans and all the passages that have ever been studied or read from the book of Romans. And think of all the people that have ever been saved by the book of Romans. And think about all the Christians who've ever been encouraged by the book of Romans over the past 2,000 years. We owe it all to a scribe by the name Tertius. Friday night, we had baby dedication day. We dedicated 100 babies in here Friday night. 100 of them. Not one of them named Tertius. Maybe next year we'll have some babies named Tertius. I don't know. I want you to turn your outline over, and I want to get to the heart of this message. There are many lessons to learn. When I really sat down this week and I thought about this guy named Tertius, no one's even heard of him. Yet we wouldn't have this book had it not been for him. And what lessons do we learn from a scribe named Tertius? Well, there are several, and let me tell you, I had a whole bunch more. I narrowed it down. I don't even know if I'll get through all this. Number one, here's the point. Sometimes you need to know you're not the guy. Sometimes you're not the guy. I want you to circle not. Everybody say not. Just circle that. What I mean by that is sometimes you're not the guy that makes the impassioned Braveheart speech that inspires an entire nation. Sometimes you're not the hero who wins the football game. Sometimes you're not the guy that makes the game-winning shot. Sometimes you're not the leading actor or leading actress playing some starring role. Sometimes you're not the pastor that is burdened with leading a church of thousands. Sometimes you're the guy that helps the guy. Sometimes you're the gal who helps the gal. In many of our stories in The Power of One, we see heroes who trusted God and who made decisions that had massive impact. But sometimes you're not the hero. Sometimes you're not the leading character of the story. Write this down. Sometimes you're just the sidekick. You're the assistant. You're Robin to Batman. You're Tonto to the Lone Ranger. You're Piglet to Winnie the Pooh. You're George Costanza to Jerry Steinfeld. Sometimes you are Chewbacca to Han Solo. You're the supporting actress. You're the grip. You're the volunteer. You're the one who works behind the scenes. God might not call upon you to make history-altering decisions or to be the hero of the story. Maybe God is simply calling you to do your small part, but God will use your small part to make a huge difference in the world. King David is mentioned. David's name is mentioned 1,139 times. Tertius' name is only mentioned once in the entire Bible, and he's never mentioned again. And yet he helped record the greatest letter of all time simply by doing what God had called him to do. Sometimes you're not the hero of the story. Sometimes you're called to help the hero of the story. I want you to write this down. Point C, being faithful at your small task is just as important as the guy that gets all of the credit. Oh, don't ever forget that. Being faithful to what God has called you to do is just as important as the guy who gets all of the credit. I have some pictures I want to show you. This first picture is a guy named Alfonso. Everybody say hello to Alfonso. He is the most unassuming person on the planet Earth. He just walks around this campus with a smile on his face. Alfonso has been here for 16 years. He represents a group of people who keep this building clean and watches over our facilities. And I just want you to know that this is a very clean facility. You ever noticed that? It's because of people like this who for 16 years, and he's going to be mad at all of us during the popcorn movie thing, week after week after week. This next woman, her name's Kay. Kay, for 21 years, she is the person who takes all of the towels and the robes after the baptisms and washes them. She's done that for 21 years. If I was in charge of that, there would never be a clean towel. You need to give Kay a hand if you can. This next picture, we have a group of volunteers who these people stuff bulletins every Friday morning. Every Friday morning they're here, and you can see they don't care. They won't even pose for a picture. This little thing that you get week after week after week that's all nicely folded and the inserts are in there nice and the usher hands it to you. These folks meet every morning, every Friday morning, and they stuff all this before the weekend starts. And I think you should give them a hand. There's a guy named Janelle. You don't know Janelle, and it's okay, but Janelle is the guy for 15 years. He's the guy. He's the guy. He's the Tertius that takes the trash out of my office every day. And I'm a hoarder. I'm a pack rat. I wouldn't even be able to get in my office if it wasn't for this guy who has the most gentle, Christ-like spirit of anyone I've ever met, who just comes in there every week and just empties out the trash, puts everything away. Amen? Here's a girl named Carrie. Many of you don't know this lady. This lady for 21 years, whoa, that's a long time. For 21 years, this woman, every Saturday, meets me here at the church at 4:30, and we start earlier in the week, but she's the one who does all the PowerPoint for everything you ever have seen on the screen for 21 years. No one even knows who she is. This sermon, you don't know this, but I know because we just go through them. This sermon today has 46 different slides. You don't know that because we just kind of go through. You're just looking at the screen. And you don't know this, but every week I misspell words. I have things out of line. I don't understand the grammar. And she makes me look smart. You need to give her a hand for 21 years. Here's Susie. She's worked here. That's her family over there. But I met this girl when she was about 12 years old in a mall in Des Moines, Iowa. Her and her sisters were there, and I was preaching back there and met her, invited her and her friends to church, and they all got saved. She ended up going to Bible college. She met Pastor Sean. She got married to Pastor Sean. And for 16 years, Susie is the one responsible for putting together all the worship. Every week, the order service, the worship, the teams, the leaders, the drummer, the guitar, the backup singers. That woman there has done that for 16 years. Woo! This next picture, oh, that's my grandson. I don't know. How did he get up there? Okay, take that off. Take that off. He didn't do anything but be cute, I'm telling you. This is my assistant, Carla. She's worked for me for the past 13 years, and many times, most of those 13 years, she gets here at the office at 6:30 a.m., just so we can get a head start on all of you, and has done a remarkable job working in my office. This last picture I'll show you, these are two guys named John is on the left, and George is on the right. And George was here last night wearing that same shirt. It was hilarious. But you don't know these two guys, but John's been here longer than anybody here. And you'll see him usually at the end of one of the services. He helps with decision counseling and comes walking across here with a cane. But these two men, out of all of the people in this entire church, these two guys write me more letters of encouragement than anybody in the whole church. And I don't even know if they know each other, but I always get those letters. They always come at the time where I'm feeling discouraged or just down a little bit. Just, it's ordained of God that one of these two guys, just, you would be shocked if you knew how often they just sit down and type out a letter and send it to me. And I want you to give those two guys a hand if you would. And what I'm saying is, you might not ever be on the stage. You might not ever be on the stage at the greatest church in the United States of America, but you might be in the background where no one ever gives you any applause or any fanfare. But being faithful at your small task is just as important as the person who gets all of the credit. The fourth lesson that comes in the form of a question. Tertius played a small part, but an important part in making the gospel available for everyone. My fourth point, D, is what is your role? What role will you play? What role are you playing today in making the gospel available for all people? Each and every one of you, there are no exceptions, no exceptions. You have a role to play. 1 Corinthians 12, if you have your Bibles, you can turn over there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a what? You are a part of it." I want to just read through this in verse, starting with verse 14, 1 Corinthians 12. "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." And I just want you to know that this weekend, we'll have about 10,000 people in church this weekend. So our body has 10,000 parts because you are a part of the body of Christ. Verse 15, "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body." And what that means is, if you're sitting out here and you think, "Well, I'm really not that important in that church, they don't really need me," you're mistaken. We need you. That's the point of that. Verse 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that if there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other." I want you to write this down. Your part is indispensable. In other words, there is no sitting on the sidelines. We need you to do your part. And if you're here in church, and this is your church, and you're not involved, then our body is inadequate here today. The body of Christ needs you. Your role is indispensable. I don't care how small you think your role is. If you're not involved, it affects the entire church. Now, I know most of you have jobs and you're busy, and I'm thankful that you have jobs where you're able to provide for your family and put food on the table, because you should provide for your family and you should put food on the table. Can someone say amen? Amen. Some of you are extremely gifted. Oh, I'm thankful for those of you that are extremely gifted. But whatever your skill set, whatever your talent, whatever your giftedness, it's also, those gifts are supposed to be used for the kingdom of God in the local church. Each member belongs to all the other members. The question is, where are you serving? Where are you serving in the body of Christ? I see some of your Facebook posts. I see some of your Instagram posts. This is me eating. This is me drinking. This is me driving. This is me looking at the sunset. This is me on vacation. This is me eating again. And I understand some of that. I don't really care what you eat, honestly. You don't really care what I eat. I mean, really, honestly, does anybody really care? No. This is me eating. This is me drinking. Where is the post? Where's the picture of you serving in church? Where is the post of you sharing the gospel with someone who's never heard the gospel? Where's the post where you're involved in a life group or hosting a life group? Where is the post of you serving someone? 1 Peter 4:10 says that each one, see, there's no exceptions here, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administrating God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things that God may be praised through Jesus Christ, and to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The next point, write this down quickly. The reason we serve is to give glory to God. That's the reason we do everything that we do around here, is to give glory to God. We're in this book of Romans, and again, you've got to read it sometime. You'll see, it's the deepest, most important letter that's ever been written. And who wrote it? But who was the scribe? Tertius. So you're in chapter 16. Go to the very end, the last three verses. This is at the end of this incredible masterpiece. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed in this letter and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be what? Be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're a famous author like Paul and you write the greatest life transformational letter that has ever been written, or if you're just a lowly scribe that no one has ever heard of, but you're just faithful to your task. No task is too small. No ministry is irrelevant. No job is menial. Our faithfulness ends up glorifying our Heavenly Father. Amen. 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 This last Tuesday night, what is today? I'm all confused. Thank you. This last Tuesday night, I was asked to speak to a group of businessmen down in Orange County. And so I went down there and it was this room. I knew a couple people. I knew the guy that invited me. And they had these business guys and their wives, and they said, keep it light, keep it light. Okay. I tried to keep it light. I couldn't help myself. But I had invited some couples from the church to go down. you know, just for several reasons. There was a couple that used to go to our church named Scott and Denise, and they backslid and moved to Dana Point years ago. Anyone who leaves Shepherd is backsliding, let me tell you. But anyway, they moved down to Dana Point, and Denise has been battling stage 4 cancer, and I mean really, really bad. And she gets, I mean, this woman has, she's eaten healthy her entire life. She's a godly woman, a healthy lifestyle, and yet for some reason, she got knocked to the floor by stage 4 cancer. She gets back up, she just keeps getting knocked back down. And they are longtime friends of my wife and I. And so I just said, you know, hey, we're going to be down in Orange County and speaking in your neck of the woods. If you want to come over, hey, come on, we'd love to have you. So they were there. There's another couple that lives up here named Lawson and Joanne. And they live really right on the other side of the freeway here. I could throw a rock if I didn't have elbow problems. Huh. And I could throw a rock on the other side of the, they live less than a half a block from the church. And Lawson, he's a guy, he's a businessman, and every Thursday in downtown Los Angeles, he holds a Bible study for businessmen. Anybody can go. And he's in our church. You would never know who he was. You would never know that this guy holds a Bible study in downtown Los Angeles for business people. And I thought that he, you know, me doing a business meeting down Orange County, he might be interested in going down there and just seeing how they do theirs down there. And his wife, Joanne, has this bright red hair. I mean, it looks like she's on fire. And she is a prayer warrior. If she just senses that there's something wrong with you, she will come right over and start praying for you. And I thought that that couple would be a great couple for Scott and Denise because of Denise's health issues. And I called the guy up, and I said to him, I said, look, I'm bringing some people with me. He goes, great. I go, they need to sit at my table. These are people from my church, a couple I haven't seen for a long time. Oh, no problem. Tables have 10. There's 10 to a table, and they'll sit at your table. Well, he stands up and announces at the meeting, Pastor, we want you to sit with us. I have some people lined up for you to sit with. I didn't get to sit with these folks. But I looked over in the corner, and there they were, Lawson, his wife, Joanne, the prayer warrior, and Scott and Denise, the woman, been battling cancer. And I was thankful they could talk to each other. Amen? Yes. What night was that? That was Tuesday night. Lawson and Joanne, I didn't tell you this. Lawson, all by himself, I've had nothing to... He'll tell you, I've not helped him at all. I've not lifted one finger to help him. But just in his own goodness of his heart, he supports a ministry in Uganda called Wells of Hope Ministry, where they take these children whose parents are in prison. So they're basically orphans. And he supports this orphanage in Uganda. And he travels there, he raises money there. And it's just, again, someone sitting out here in our church that's involved helping an orphanage down in Uganda. Amen? So they met on Tuesday night. Friday, I get a video and a text from my wife who says, you will not believe what Lawson and Joanne did for Denise. They got a hold of the orphanage in Uganda, and they had those children make a video to encourage Denise. And Joanne's favorite Bible verse is Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11. And here's how it reads. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000 times and bless you just as he has promised. So she had these children down in Uganda. Sometime, must have been Wednesday. I don't know how you do this. They were at the meeting Tuesday. Friday, Denise gets this video from these children quoting this Bible verse. I want to show you the video, and then I'll make the closing statement here. Here's the video.
May the Lord, the God of your ancestors, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. Dear Mommy Denise, we are praying that God heals you completely. We love you.
Okay. Denise gets that video on Friday. And her response is, you will not believe what happened today. My Bible reading assignment was from Deuteronomy chapter 1. Only God in heaven could orchestrate all that, couldn't he? Only God in heaven. Only God in heaven. Only God in heaven. And it's all because there's a couple sitting out here who's involved in Uganda. In other words, a prayer warrior went to a dinner to hear me speak, met a woman with cancer, went to, been going to Uganda for years and got them to do a video, sent it to Denise, happened to be the same day she gets it as the same day her Bible reading plan calls to be in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Lord, I will increase you 1,000 times and I will keep the promises that I've made for you. And don't you see how your faithfulness in your little small task, your faithfulness to your calling, it will indeed bless the body of Christ. But what it ultimately does, it gives glory to an almighty God in heaven. No task is too small. As we close, write this down quickly. I just want you to know it's good to say thank you. It's good to say thank you. Everybody say thank you. Oh, it's good to say thank you. It's good to say thank you. I look at Romans 16, and you know what I see? I see Paul just saying thank you for all the people that helped him in life and in ministry. And you ever see Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible? And at the end of the movie, they start rolling this thing called the credits, and it's got like three columns of just names that just roll. It's as long as the movie. And I always wonder myself, who are these people? You know who all those people are? Those are all the people. They're all tertius. And if it wasn't for them, there would be no Tom Cruise. There would be no Mission Impossible. If it wasn't for the people like tertius just working behind the scenes. Amen? Amen. So next time you see that greeter, say thank you to that greeter. Next time you see the person driving that tram, you say thank you. Half of them don't have driver's license. I just want you to know. I just want you to know, there's some crazy drivers out there. You drop off your children, you say thank you. The person, the usher that hands you communion every Sunday, you say thank you. If you find that bulletin stuffer, you say thank you. Be sure you thank your pastor. No, I'm dead. Anyone who mentors you, anyone who helps you, anybody who serves in this church, you see someone bend over and pick up a piece of trash off the ground, be sure to thank them. Because we all have a part to play in the body of Christ. And we just should be more appreciative than what we are. Amen. Let's stand and bow our heads for just a quick word of prayer. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this sermon. We ask your blessing. As we move into this time of decision, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.